robe and crown. Amen. Amen. I want to thank Brother Davis for leading us in that song service. I was sitting there, and first of all, I'm a person that gets overheated quite often. Amen. My wife tried to tell me I'm having flashes or whatever. I get overheated easily, and I came in here and I sat down. I said, wow, you know, I saw somebody else doing this, you know. Saw a brother Robert doing that, you know. I said, well, it ain't just me, you know. And then I looked to my right, and I said, Brother Johnson, it's hot in here. But see, if you know Brother Johnson, he looked, he said, what? Hot, you know. He comfortable in this, you know. But water just pour off of me. So I'm the preacher that can preach in air conditioning. You know, a lot of preachers don't do that. But, yeah, I can preach in air conditioning and be comfortable. So, but good morning. How y'all doing? I know it's strange that I'm up here. I used to be over here. But I drew the short straw today. And Brother Matthias down in Easton preaching. And Brother Larry, I was surprised to even see him here. You know, he usually, when he's not assigned to be here, he usually waits in his car and makes sure that the preachers show up. Because he said, I ain't getting out of my car until, you know. Once he seen one show up, he said, all right, well, they got one there, you know, so I can get out of my car. So, but it's just good to see him. You know, I know he's been away, and we want to thank God for having watched over him. Amen. Keep Brother Bethia and his family in your prayers. They down in Easton. Doing a work down there, and just pray that God watches over him, protect him, and bring him back like he left here. Amen? Amen. Even better than where he left here. Amen. So I want to thank Brother Tom for reading the scripture text for us, and I wanted to thank ahead of time Brother Carl Davis for helping me with preparing for this message. He has a little something PowerPoint that I'm going to incorporate in this at the end. And I thank him for going out of his way and above and beyond to help put that together for me. I want to thank him for that as well. So if you'll join me in the text that was read into your hearing. To keep this near. Amen. In the text that was read into your hearing in Ephesians chapter number 4 and beginning at verse number 11. And the text reads, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. Paul had a lot to say, church and saints in Ephesus. I had a baptismal certificate here that I forgot to mention before I got up here, but I didn't see her. Is Brianna right here today, this morning? Oh, she's at 8. Okay, all right, thank you. Okay, so we'll just hold on her certificate and give it to her when we see her again. Amen. So in the text that's we just read. See, our text tells us that Christ has given to his church gifts. Gifts that function as apostles and as prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And see, when you look at these gifts, some of these gifts were temporary. Okay? See, the apostles and the prophets were temporary gifts. They were given to the church, and their work, when he was given the temporary gifts of the apostles and prophets, their work was establishing the foundation of the Lord's church. Mm-hmm. And Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 19 through 22, we read there, that's Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, it says, "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom also the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." See, he's saying that those temporary gifts of the apostles and prophets, they laid the foundation that we are that we grabbed hold and we were to follow, but they laid it, Christ being the start of that foundation, being the cornerstone, and he's saying we are that temple, that habitation of God that God expects to live through. He's given all of us that's in his family a part of him. He's given us his Spirit. And he dwells with us in that Spirit wherever we go. And then there are other gifts that Christ gave us that are permanent, such as evangelists and pastors and teachers, whose work it is of adding to and building up the body of Christ, which continues to be needed today and is an ongoing work. See, the apostles and prophets laid the foundation, but the permanent gifts that he left, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, are to carry on that work. That's how the message got to us. Amen. Amen. And I'm so glad that there were faithful people that passed the word on so it would get down to us. Amen. See, Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verses 9 through 11. That's 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And beginning at verse 9, Paul said, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." We are God's plant. He planted us. And when it talks about his husbandry, that this is a plant, this is a field that he sowed in, and he's going to continue to make it grow. That's each and every one of us. He said, not only are we that, but we are God's building. We just heard that in the other text, that we are that habitation for God to dwell in. It says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me," Paul's saying this, "as a wise master builder." We said that the prophets, that the apostles and the prophets were that laid the foundation. He was a master builder. He said, "I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon." Another, all of us, are building on that foundation that Paul and the other apostles laid. He says, "But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." See, we have to be careful how we, what substance that we build on this foundation that was laid by the apostles. He says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus is the foundation laid. We got to be careful when we try to lay anything else on that foundation. See, so when you start saying what you think, well, I just think that for this thing to run efficiently, I think we can do it like this, okay? Well, God say no. See, when you resort to spending too much time up here, or you want to bring in what grandma and grandpa taught you. When you want to talk about what Reverend Sound and Brass preached about. See, when you talk about that anointed feeling that you got when Pastor Shirley brought the message to you. See, all I can say is when you start doing those things, you better be right. I borrowed that from Brother Veer. You better be right. See, I'm just saying, you better make sure that you have some Bible for those things that you're believing in. Because God's going to hold us accountable when we start bringing these false things and try to build on that foundation which he's brought to us. I want to speak this morning from the subject, equipping the saints for the ministry. Equipping the saints for the ministry. We had a subject this month that we wanted to talk about, and that was dealing with family. Building the family, making the family grow, making it stronger. And this is what this message was about. We are God's family. And he accepts us as we are, but he intends for us to grow once we come into his family. See, the purpose of these gifts that we read in verse 12, it said, going back to our text in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, and it says, so first of all, in 11, he said, Christ left us some gifts. And the purpose of these gifts were, in verse 12, it says, one, it was for the perfecting of the saints. See, and this perfecting of the saints, this was for instructing them completely, giving them everything they needed in order to function. Amen? Us saints, okay? That's that foundation that they laid for us. Not only was that, but it was also for giving us a way to purify, to be purified. Right. Amen? To purify ourselves as well. And it is also dealt with for us being united together. Right. Yeah. See, one thing that they did, they wanted us to be in a union, all of us that have believed in Christ, to be together in this family with Christ helping us to take us to a higher and holy living. Right. See, he accepted us just as we are when we came in. See, a lot of people say, they've been leaning against the ark for a long while. They come here, they sit here, and they lean against the ark, okay? But they won't get in the ark, okay? And see, you don't get no points. You can just ask them people back in Noah's day. You ain't getting no points for leaning against the ark, okay? See, the safety was in the ark. But see, a lot of people say, well, I like it here. And I want to become a part of y'all, but I got some things in my life. I got to stop. I don't want to play with this thing. And I need to stop this before, I do that. But God just wants you to just come on in, because if you could stop it, you would have. So you need help. We don't realize we got stuff in our lives that we just need help with. We got strongholds. We got addictions. We got different things that been with us for a while. And we keep on saying, I can stop when I want to, when I make up my mind. And, but we've been in denial about that for a while. Okay. So we need to just come as we are. And that's how it's been. You come as you are, and God will change you without you even knowing it. Amen. Your speech will get different. That's right. you used to cuss every other word, you know, and then it go to every fifth word and then every tenth word. And then you notice that I don't cuss as much as I used to now. And then it get to the point where when you ran a cusser, you said, what's wrong with that language, you know? It started to bother you, you know. But you used to be the cusser, you know. Now it bothers you. So he started changing you. Little by little, as we take these words and make them personal in our lives, he'll change us. So he that's the perfecting part of the saints. And he said he was also, another part of this was perfecting other saints for the work of the ministry. See, work of the ministry is for carrying on and carrying out the various works assigned to ministry. We always say that, you know, if you're in here and you don't have a job to do, there's work to be done. But we look and we say, oh, well, brother so-and-so, they do that. And sister so-and-so do that, you know. But see, a lot of times, brother so-and-so that's been doing it for a while and sister so-and-so that's been doing it need a break. And they will gladly tag you and say, you it, you know, and let you do that for a while, okay? And it doesn't become burdensome to us if we have a rotation where people, and we've said it a number of times. See, if you're in here and, see, God doesn't call the equipped. He don't look for people out there that's equipped to do this and that and say, oh, yeah, I can use him. No, God doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the call. All that he called, he equips them to be able to do what he's left us to do. So sometimes you have to try different ministries to find your niche, okay? Some might sit back and they say, well, I would like to preach. I like to get up there because I got some people I want to tell off, you know. And you say, well, that might not be your niche, okay? That's not a reason to want to be up here, okay? And it's more than just presenting a sermon to someone, okay? You're just seeing the final part. You're not looking at during the week when we were stressing at home and burning the candle on both ends and just not having time for anything. It's just a lot to go with that. But you need to try. We've even said that on our website, there's a area you can go to, and it will tell you, it will point you in a direction where you can learn what your gift is. Might not tell you exactly, but it can. You answer the questions, and it will point you to a couple of areas maybe where your giftedness is. But we've said that, and some people have heard that and still haven't went to check it out. But you need to do that because you need to find out where your gift is. God doesn't want us to be seat fillers. He expects that. I mean, in your own household, you don't go for that in your own household, you know. See, I'm looking at Brother Dante. He just happened to pop out to me back there. But see, his daughters, he surrounded by ladies in his house, but also his son. But now, they got different chores in that household, okay? See, they just can't live in there and say, I ain't going to do nothing here. I'm going to live here, you know, but I'm not going to do nothing, you know. They got some chores. They might wash the dishes or they might clean up around there, put the trash out or whatever. But everybody do something. But it's only in the Lord's house that we think we can come in here and be in the house and I ain't doing nothing. Don't ask me to do nothing. I ain't even going to come dressed for doing nothing. Mama come here, you know, you better not ask me to get up there and serve, you know. But we think we can do that in God's house. But we wouldn't stand for that in our own house. That stuff has to change. See, and then God says in this text, he said the last thing in verse 12, he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The building up of the church, both in bringing in new members to it and strengthening those that are brought in already. Brought in those that strengthen them in faith and in holiness. See, once we bring people in, I wish I had a whiteboard up here, but sometimes you need to see. But God has given us a mission. Okay? He gave us the Great Commission. But in that Great Commission, Turn to Matthew 28. In Matthew chapter number 28 and around verse 18. So Christ came to his disciples and he said in verse 18, Matthew 28 and 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. See, now that's formally known as the Great Commission. When we see that, that's the Great Commission. That's the Great Commission is what he's given to the church to do. These are our marching orders, okay? So we have a mission within the Great Commission to do certain things. And then when you sign up to this, you sign up for a contract that has responsibility on both ends. See, when this person right here wants to obey the gospel, see, a lot of times he might have heard something during the sermon that pricked him and said, I'm going to get my life right. I need to stop messing around. I need to stop doing this and that. And right now I'm pricked and I want to go and obey the gospel. And as much as you don't want to hinder a person from making that move, for me, myself, I want them to understand what they're committing to. And a lot of times we don't know that. Okay. And I could just talk to the married people for a minute, you know, when you were standing up there making them vows, you know. See, you didn't know what you was, you didn't really understand everything you was, you know. When you say in sickness and in health, for richer, for poor, you know, the good times and the bad times, you know. We just heard the good times, you know, we ain't hear the bad times, you know. When things get bad, we ain't hear that. And the last time that I did a wedding, I repeated that part three times. Amen. You know, because I say I want you to hear this, okay? Because later when it get bad, I want you to remember that I said that to you three times. That was your chance to leave, you know. But but see, we don't hear that, you know. Just like we don't understand the commitment that we're making when we want to obey the gospel. See, God says in this Great Commission, he said, he tells the church, those that's already in here, he said, I want you to go, first of all. And he said, go ye therefore, you know. Well, you might say, well, I don't go to many places. I stay at home. I'm not an outgoing person, you know. So he said, well, it don't matter. He said, as you go. Wherever you go to the store, don't you? You go to the market, you as you go, you know, then I want you to teach somebody. You say, well, I don't know how to teach formal classes. But we don't always teach like that. We teach in our lifestyle. Sometimes our lifestyle is the only Bible some people are going to see. Amen. See, we've heard it said in our men's class where we're on the job and somebody will come to us and say, look, Tom, I'm having some problems at home. And could you pray for me? I wouldn't ask the rest of these heathens around here, but, you know, it's just something about you. You know, I just know that if I ask you to pray for me, it might get past the ceiling. OK. And so with us, that should be happening to us. We should be drawing people to us. It should be a light in us that draws the world to us. That they understand that the light is not us, but we just light reflectors, and it's just reflecting the light that has made a change in our life. So in that commission, it tells us to go and teach some people, and then after we teach them, then we are to baptize them. And then after we baptize them, we are to teach them some more. Amen. And that other teaching is ongoing. See, that other teaching is called discipleship. There's no end to that. You know, as long as you in the body, you still should be learning, because you can't exhaust this information in here. You'll never get to the point and say, yeah, I've read that. I got it all. You know, I know that from Genesis to the maps in the back. I know all this. And so you never get to the point where you know all this, okay? And you ever learning. You even stuff that you thought you knew. 5 years down the line, you in a class, you and Brother Fraser's Wednesday class, and they discussing something in Corinthians, or and my wife, she's often, after we leave here, she said, oh, we had a real good class, and we were talking about this and that, and I just saw that in a different light. Yeah, you know. For years, you've been thinking this one way, and then when you get into a discussion, then you say, wow, light bulb, come on. You say, wow, I never knew that. You know, I never thought that. You know, so we get that through discipleship. It takes us further, but that's what God expects. That's the edifying of the body, bringing us. That's the building up of the church, and when we bring in the new members, and then we got to teach them. But that's the church's responsibility. But then that person has a responsibility too. They have a responsibility to get taught. They have a responsibility to make themselves available for the second teaching that we're talking about. I told you we're supposed to teach. We call it TBT. Teach, baptize, and teach. And that other teacher, they're making a commitment that I'm going to make myself available to get the second teaching. But then how are you going to do that when you work your job, the hours that you work, you can't come to no Bible studies. I won't be in here because I work from 6 in the morning until 9 at night. Okay? So I can't come to any Bible study. And I only have 1 weekend off a month, you know. So, I only be able to come to one service, you know, on Sunday, you know. And I've had people that tell me this when I'm talking to them about obeying the gospel. I say, well, you're too busy for the Lord. You know, how can you ever... How can you ever expect to grow with a schedule like that? You're not going to do that, you know, because, see, just coming here, and there's some things I'm going to say about that a little later, but you're too busy in that case, and you have to free up time. God will, if you put him first, he'll bless you for that. Sometimes we're not to the point where we learn to trust him in that, especially when we first start. Now, some of us been here for years and we still ain't trusting him. But you come to learn to trust him, that I'm going to put him first and he'll take care, make all my ends meet. Amen. See, the gifts in here that we're talking about was to continue. These gifts were continually to be used in the progress of the church. See, Christ had appointed evangelists, pastors, and teachers that the infant church might be led and guided to maturity. Not sinless perfection, but to the state of manhood as compared with that of childhood. See, when we come in here, we're babes. Amen. Bunch of babes. And just as, you know, this person, the last person that got baptized, you know, we run over to the spiritual delivery room over there, the baptistry, and you know, we go over there and see the new baby. Let me see it, you know, how y'all would do if, you know, the real, you know, the other. And we go, we want to see the new baby, you know. But as soon as they come out there, and after a week, and somebody obeys next week, you know, then they didn't push that baby out of the way. They, you know, let me see the new baby, the next new baby, you know. So you don't stay the new baby long, you know, because it's always new babies being born into the kingdom. See, he says in verse 13 of our text, let me move this thing over here. In verse 13, he says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to the perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, like I said, we start off young. He's saying right here, you expected to grow up. He expects the whole body to grow up. He says, till we become that full stature of Christ. We're not going to stay children. And see, then the next verse even piggybacks on what we just read. See, then we get to verse 14. 14 says that you henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. There's some people out there just waiting to deceive you. Whether they do it with false doctrine or they think church folk is dumb, naive. They don't know. But see, everything in here was first out there. Okay, so, you know, and some of us still got the traits that we had out there. Okay, but Satan himself is the deceiver. He's trying to deceive you. See, this verse is saying that we henceforth be no more children. This should be the aim of all of us, to reach a stature such that we are removed from that image of instability of character and purpose, where we go here and there. One day we toss to and fro. One day we're saying this, praising the Lord, and over here, yeah, we complain about, I got to do this thing by myself. We don't realize that God is there to help us through this. See, then you got people who are walking around boasting about, I got 20 years of experience in this as a Christian, you know, and you can see that God ain't finished with them yet, you know. In fact, I don't even know if he midway, he about a fifth of the way through with them, you know, but they boasting that they got 20 years of experience in that, when actuality, they got 1 year experience 20 times, okay. See, they still in their first year of experiences, and having grown, they just repeated that first year 20 times. And some of us are there. You know, we never get to the second grade. We've been in the kindergarten for so long, and but yet we think we're further along than what we really are. See, we're tossed about by every wind of doctrine. It has been the introduction of different doctrines which have broken up the unity that's in the religious world out here now. Everybody's got all these different denominations out here. What separates one from the other is different doctrines, different teachings. I got more to say about that, but I'll get off of that now. So it's so many persons out here that have no fixed views and principles in regard to religious doctrines. The first aim of every new convert should be to acquire settled views of truth and to become firmly grounded in the doctrine of the gospel. Amen. In other words, when they obey, they should be running to a class to understand what I just obeyed. Right. Yeah. And we have that for them. We have the foundation of faith is a class that's set in place to help give them that foundation that they need. And yet, we have to run people down to get them to come there. We got people that's in there now. Rotation is about to end. You know, those that's in there, or if you've been through there, have it benefited you? You can't say that, you know, if no more than that, you got to see a teaching tool that we have here that you might have somebody else that need to be taught, okay? So, that's the least reason that you need to take it. But I guarantee you, once you go through there, you're going to be better off thereby. You're going to be blessed by the material. And then verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. See, we must walk in the truth while growing in every way to be more like Christ. See, that's our goal. Our goal is to be more like Christ. Every once in a while, we got to take the mirror test.
the mirror test. Is this mic on? We got to take the mirror test every once in a while. We got to go to that mirror, be honest, and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, do you see Christ in me at all? See, because whether you know it or not, that's God's goal for each and every one of us. You know, I used to read this text, and then when I saw it, I said, wow, I never realized that that was God's goal for me in Romans chapter number 8. And we usually read 8 and 28, but we don't read the next verse. See, in Romans 8 and 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He said, see, I knew you before you even came to me. He said, those I foreknew. He said, my plans for you was to be conformed into the image of my son. I want y'all to be all little Jesuses running around here. I want y'all character to be like my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And as much as you fight and kick against the pricks, that's what God, we just read what his goal is for us. Amen. To be conformed to the likeness of his son. Yes. Now, you can run away from these classes and run away from coming to service, but that's God's will for you. And if you're doing that, then you're fighting against him. You're not fighting against the preacher or the leadership. You know, you're fighting against God because God's goal for you is to be transformed. And then lastly, we have here, Jesus makes the, in verse 16, let's jump back over here to Ephesians 4 and 16. Then he says, to grow up in him, which is the head, even Christ, 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making intercession of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And that says a whole lot. And I really meant to read this in the New Living Translation before I started, because it says it so plainly to you. And I think y'all would have got something out of that. But we're right here. He said that God has fitted this body together. And I think it was Brother Grayland was preached that message where he was talking about it packed and fitted. And, you know, and that's what God did. He's taking all these different talents that he got here, and he's putting it in the house, and he's shaving this off, and he compacted it. He put this thing together the way he wants it to be. He says, together, compacted, that which every joint supplies. We the joints. All these joints supposed to supply something to this house that he's building. And he says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every part is supposed to be working into fitting into this house that he's building. He says, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body. See, we're supposed to be increasing this. We shouldn't be taken away from it. Yeah. See, and a lot of times our absence from being here takes away from God's plan to build this house. He can't build it when he's missing parts here and there. So he can't put it together like he wants to. He said, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. See, as we increase and we do our part and put our part, see, it's going to increase the whole thing. The whole self, the church is going to increase by that. So how do we, what's our part in the congregation? How do we work along with God's plan for our life? Because he has a plan for our life. See, Brother Carl put this. Now, I've shown this during a congregational meeting before. And
But the problem in that is that you only have certain people that will stick around for a congregational meeting. Really, this needs to be shown. And those handouts y'all have are going to be the same thing you see up here. I just made it convenient for those that can't see this far, okay? But in our congregation, this is a snapshot of what our congregation, and it could be applied to most any congregation. But this is a snapshot of where our congregation is and what we are called to do in this congregation. So first of all, as I said, Christ has given us a mission. He gave us the Great Commission. So he's given missions to all his congregations. And then along with that, he has a purpose that he's planned within this mission to get done. Okay? We just talked about his purpose. Building up the body and equipping the saints for ministry, because he expects for all of us to do the work, okay? Along with that, he's got down here, maybe y'all, I might be blocking some of y'all over here, but aim is down here in the corner, okay? So we need to be aiming at something. But see, you won't aim at nothing because you haven't made a goal yet. You got to make a goal if you want to aim at something. They say if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Okay, so we got to have a goal or something that we're aiming at in order to have a purpose and to fulfill God's mission. So when we first come into the body, and y'all can look at y'all, see that outer circle around there. This is called the outer fringe. Okay, y'all see that right there? That outer fringe. And see, this is step one. See, now, first of all, if you're not in the body, then this doesn't even pertain to you. First of all, you need to get in the body, okay? But everybody that's in the body starts right here. This is the beginning where we start at, okay? We're entering down here the body, okay? And we're entering the congregation right here. And at any time, our congregation is made up about 10% of us are in this state where we got new people coming in, okay? And like I said, each congregation will go through this. So we come in at that point. Now, here at this congregation, when people obey the gospel and they come in at that point, we usually give them welcome packets, okay? And I have a copy of this in there, you know? And a lot of times, you know, they're in a hurry or I can't explain all this to them, but this can give them a better understanding of what's expected of them, you know. But sometimes it's too much for them to take in right then. This is for people who've been around for a little bit longer, because we start there. And then secondly, from I got to back it up before, we start here and down here, how did my finger get locked on that? Okay. All right, right here. We start, tell you what, let me lock this. Then I won't have to go to that. Down here in the corner, this EMC represents your attendance. How you come when you first come in here. You have made up your mind how you're going to come, you know. So we call them EMCs. They come Easter, Mother's Day, and Christmas. Okay? See, that's when they show up, okay? So and that's why. So then, but see, without a goal and without an aim, then that's when they're gonna show up. I need a blessing. Let me go on down and see what they're doing, or you know, I need to talk to the preacher or whatever, you know. So we come like that. And then as we grow, we expect it to grow, because when you come in, we tell you at that time, well, when we give you the packet, we're going to tell you that you need to be in the Foundation of Faith class. That's a requirement here. Okay, it's not a suggestion. It's a requirement, because you need to get that foundation under you, and you need to understand what you just obeyed. Because in 1 Peter 3:15 tells us we need to be ready always to give an answer
to every man that asks us the hope that's in us with meekness and fear. You know, how you when you go back home and you tell them, yeah, I got baptized today. They say, you got what? You've been going over here to Aunt Mary's church for 20 years. What you mean you got baptized today? What's the matter with her church? You know, where she's the pastor and her husband the co-pastor. What? You done bump your head or something? You know, why are you going to, what makes you think you can be saved over there and you can't be saved over there? See, when you hear that, then your head drop because I don't know how to refute what she's saying or what they saying to me. So now I might not even go back. And we have plenty of these baptismal certificates. We had a bunch of them over here, but I guess they must have started looking embarrassing or something, but we took them from them. But we had a number of these over here where people haven't even come back to get their baptismal certificates. See, in other words, we had babes that went missing in the beginning. See, now I'm quite sure when Sister Mary had her baby, when her baby was crying, she ain't no baby no more, but when her baby was crying, she didn't say, go to her and say, what's the matter, you hungry? Go on in the kitchen and get you something out the refrigerator and take care of that, okay? That's not what you do. With babies, you got to take them to the food and show them how to eat, okay? So if our people never come back to get their baptism, how can we teach them how to eat? How can we feed them? We can't. Now see, this represents a lot of spiritual Amber alerts that's out there. Now see, in the world, if we had a pile of Amber alerts going out there, everybody stopped what they thought. Oh, that don't make no sense. They need to find them children, you know. But only in the church can we have these spiritual Amber alerts of babes missing where they've been abducted by Satan, and we allow that to go down. See, so we, like I said, we tell them what they need, but it's only if they make a goal, they understand. You know, some people will go to that class, and once they go to that class, then they might, you know, they'll learn something, okay? But see, the first goal we want them to make is, I keep doing that. The first goal that we want them to make is right here. We want them to change that, their attendance, okay? See that one W there? That means that they come to one worship, okay? They've been coming for a while. They was Easter, Mother's Day, and Christmas, and then when they start increasing a little bit more, and then they say, well, you know what? I'm gonna make a goal. I'm gonna make a goal that for November that just passed, I'm gonna come at least to one service every week. And they did that, and they did that, and it worked out. They was able to come to one service during that month. They said, okay, I did that. It didn't hurt. I'm still together. Okay, so I'm gonna try that again for next month. So and then they tried. They say for December I'm gonna do the same thing. So now they growing because now by committing to coming to that one service, they have a feeling of belonging right there. Y'all see that? Belonging, because now they fellowshipping with people. They were sitting on the same row with people for, well, they've been in the body for 2 years and they've been just coming sporadically. And everybody they meet, hi, bruh. Hey, sis, how you doing? You know, don't know nobody's name. You know, they were sitting right there, you know, besides, but they don't know nobody's name, okay? But now they starting to know people because they're building relationships. They move from the outer fringe to the fringe. And usually the congregation have about 25% of us that's in that group. Okay. Now, they made an improvement, but what do they need to do to improve on that? See, they need to go to this next step right here, step three. See, that you see that one W, one B? So what do they add to it? A Bible study. And we don't even realize that when they were here, when they were there, They wasn't even getting discipled. You can come to one worship for years and never get discipled. Because all you getting from this pulpit is getting hors d'oeuvres. You're getting a little, you know, burst a day to keep the devil away or whatever. You're getting a little stuff to try to hold you until next week, but you're not getting really fed like you need to. You know, see, because if I'm saying something up here and you don't understand, you can, hey, preacher, wait a minute, can you break that down and explain it? You don't have time for that. You got to come to a Bible study where you can go deeper. And like I said, that starts discipleship. Amen. But remember what the commission said, to teach, to baptize, and teach. Yeah. That second teaching is supposed to be the discipleship, right? But it took you a while to get there. You ain't get there until here. And you'd be surprised at the number of people that have to come there dragging and kicking and whatnot. But usually when they commit to this and they start growing, then the next step to, because I ask people, okay, well, where are you in this? Your sheet says identify yourself on there. You ask them, where are you in here? And what do you need to do in order to grow? So if you in the second stage, right here, that orange right there, and you need to grow, then I need to add a Bible study to that. And you can see on there where it has discipleship. That's now you're getting discipled because you come into a Bible study and you come into worship. You're mentoring now. You're learning some things. You're maturing in the faith. And this is what's called the mainstream. You can see that percentage up there. That's 40% of the congregation that's in there. Now, 40% of us is in there. Now, trying to get these people down here in this section here, to get them to go to this next section would be almost impossible. But because these people have made a commitment to one Bible study and one worship, see, we need to go further. You see this next step right here? To grow to that, they've added another worship and another Bible. That's coming at 8 o'clock and staying over till 11. You might go to Bible study, Sunday school rather, in between and staying over at 11. All right, you got your two worships out of the way. You got a Bible study. And just adding a Bible study during the week and you're there. But see, you know what? This is called a core. This is like on jobs or anywhere where they say 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Yeah. But that's the old figure. Now, it's been 10% and 90 for the longest time. Yeah. It's 10% of the people do 90% of the work, okay? And with the core right here, these are people who are serving in ministry. They're working. And this is the core. And it's 20% that's in there. Now, if we, as a congregation, doing what the Lord asks us to do, if we can take this 40% and move them in here, we've already got something good working where they're already coming with one Bible study and one worship. Y'all see that? So they're primed to want to grow. And if we can move this 40% into here and make that 60%, you gotta search long and far to find any congregation where you got 60% of the people working. You ain't gonna find that. Right. Like I say, you usually had 20% doing 80% of the work, but to find 60% doing that, and you got a good chance of making this happen, moving them to here. All they got to do is have a will to grow, and to do what God has told them to do, make that goal, and you got other people that want to help them to do that. And the last place that God wants all of us to be is there. He wants us to be in the hardcore. And you can see it's 5% of the congregation that's there. And these are people that's going everywhere. They're seeking the lost. They're doing evangelism. That's the hardcore. God's goal for us to be, everybody to be in that center. We're not going to be there. All of them not going to be there. But at least those that's in the mainstream, which is the biggest percentage, if we can just make the goal that I've asked people, where do you want to be? And periodically, you have to ask yourself this. Where was I 6 months ago in the faith? What level was I in? Where do I want to be in the next 6 months, the next year? But that's not going to change unless I make a goal and make something that I can aim at. So all of us need to do that. We need to sit down and prioritize and say, where do I want to be in my spiritual life? We do that on a job. They say, if you want this promotion, well, I'm going to send you to this 6-month class and, you know, going to move you up to your salary, going to be this and that. You say, okay, where did I sign up at?
Yeah.
You know? Amen. We don't want to do that, but we don't want to sign up for spiritual promotions in God's kingdom to move to where he wants us to be. But this just asks us to identify where we are in this system. But that's what we have to eventually do. See, this circle of purpose says, where are you? Where are you with your vocation? Examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Don't you understand that Jesus Christ is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? So we got a purpose. We got a mission. We're going to have an aim if we make a goal, something to aim at. But God would have all of us to grow and to move on from where we are in this. But I pray that, you know, you all keep those sheets. And like I said, that's something that I give out down in Foundation of Faith. And it's helped me to focus on where I am and what I need to do to anchor that, to stay, to never go down below that and always look to move up in there. In my walk. So I pray something was said today that will make you examine yourself and see where you are and be determined if you're not in that mainstream number that you might aim for that and then from there go on to further where God would have you to be. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So thank you for your time. I was glad for the opportunity because God wants his family. And I tell you, when we do that Foundation of Faith class, one of the things that I say, well, you know, three things I say about it is that, first of all, you're going to learn things that you didn't know. And you're going to be able to give an answer to people that ask you about stuff. And secondly, if you go down there, you know everything that's in there, which that's doubtful. I've never seen anybody that know everything that's on there. But you're going to see some, and if you know it, it's going to remind you of stuff that you forgot. And then lastly, like I said, you're going to see a teaching tool that we have that you know somebody. You got a family member, a coworker, somebody, neighbor, somebody that would be ideal for that. All you got to do is get them to commit to it. See, they're not going to let you teach them. But if you can get them to commit to coming to that class, we'll teach them. Okay, so you don't have to be in a body to go through that. There's been a lot of people that come down there, wasn't in the body, and obeyed the gospel from seeing that, you know. So, you know, utilize the things that we have here. And as we said, Brother Bethea said, you know, the progress that we've been making with the radio program, we're trying to equip the saints to be able to handle the influx. If we get 30 people that want classes, they got to come from somewhere. We're trying to equip the saints to be able to do that.
Amen.
We got other classes also in the discipleship and retention ministry. And I want to say, see, I brought this to y'all that we have to stop the revolving door syndrome.
Amen.
A lot of people, y'all know what that is. You know, that's when people come in one door and they go out, the newcomers come in one door. And it's not just people that obey the gospel, people that place membership as well. They'll come here, they place membership, they look around for a while, and then they go on and search other places.
Yeah.
So we have to do things to stop that revolving door syndrome, and that's what we do with equipping the saints. We got a lot of stuff here to help people to grow, different programs, and we need to take advantage of that because when we get the call that, you know, we need 10 people to teach classes, you know, we got to already be ready for that.
Yeah.
And I often think about them people on Pentecost, those 3,000 obeyed. Where did they get the workers to teach them? But they must have, because it wasn't long before their number grew to 5,000, and then went on to 8, you know. So they had the people there. They had workers to teach. We got to have them workers too. So, you know, do what you can to help God's plan for his body. Amen? I'm done. If anybody's here and they haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, then you need to think about that. See, you can become a part of this at any time. And another thing, we've had people that come and they visit and they see, sometimes they'll learn the lingo. They say, oh, well, when they want to become a part of this, they say, I want to place membership, you know. See, you can only place membership if you're already a member of a congregation of the Lord's church, okay? Yeah. If you're coming in from some other group, then you have to obey the gospel, and the Lord adds you to the church. You don't join this group. The Lord adds you to the church as you obey the gospel. So we got to understand that as well. But you can be added to this group by hearing God's word, believing his word, be willing to change your mind, make up your mind, I want to repent, I want to change the way I've been going. And that deals with change of mind, heart, and action. Once you're ready to do that, then confess the sweetest name on mortal tongue that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that be willing to be baptized for remission of your sin. God will add you to here. Now you have access to all the tools you need to take you to a higher and holier life. Amen? Amen? We're going to stand. Maybe you need prayer. We're going to stand and sing the hymn of invitation. Give someone a chance.
I can hear my Savior call.